Hello, and welcome to another USF Football Recap here on Radio St. Pete. I'm Kevin Erlinson.
I'm Will Polston.
And I'm Jack Palmer.
And we're from Bulls Radio, the student-run radio station at the University of South Florida's Tampa campus, covering all USF athletics. USF put together its first winning streak of the season and a potentially corner-turning victory over BYU, coming back from behind to beat the Cougars 27-23. Here's a quick look at how it happened. It looked like a familiar story for the Bulls, who had to wait until their second quarter before getting its first down of the game. Meanwhile, the Cougars got their offense going in the first half. They scored via a 51-yard field goal from Jake Oldroyd on the first drive of the game, and then Jaron Hall took over, scoring his first career touchdown in the second quarter on a 35-yard toss to Dax Milne. An Oldroyd 22-yarder on the next drive stretched the lead to 13-0, but McLeod and the Bulls finally got going, capping off an impressive 8-play drive that started on their own 14 with a 39-yard touchdown pass to Mitch Wilcox. That's his fourth of the season. In the second half, USF finally got going for real, cutting into the 16-7 halftime lead on the first drive of the second half, resulting in Jordan Cronkite's first touchdown of the season on a goal line rush and just a 2-point lead left for BYU. Jaron Hall did respond on the next drive on a 29-yard touchdown run, restoring the 9-point lead at 23-14, but that is where BYU scoring would end as the defense shut BYU out in the fourth quarter. McLeod and Cronkite each scored a rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter, and USF took the 27-23 lead. Defense, by the way, had two red zone stops under 5 minutes to go in the game. USF improves to 3-3, and the Cougars fall to 2-4. So, Will, Jack, you guys were there calling the game. You saw it firsthand, and it really starts with Jordan Cronkite.
Absolutely. Jordan was coming off of what was already his best game of the season against UConn, where he put up 148 yards. But then he comes back into this game and eclipses 150. He's been looking phenomenal, like the old Jordan Cronkite in the last previous games, and I'm starting to think that this running game is starting to take a turn, whether it be additional blocking or whatever it may be, or maybe the offensive line is just finally developing. Who knows? But whatever it is, Jordan's finally trying to fall into his element.
Yeah, I like to agree with that. I think Jordan Cronkite, the offensive line, hammered in by Kerwin Bell today. He was able to drive in the points of getting that offensive line to go. And it was spoken a lot today that USF was really allowed to take advantage of the counter play. That's what was spoken in the interviews. And it was almost seemed like it was unstoppable. And it was due in part to how BYU was lining up against them on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. USF really run heavy today. Part of that's due to Jordan McLeod having an injured wrist. We'll talk about that in a second. But they ran the ball 44 times. Cronkite had half of those, amassing 158 yards. And his first two touchdowns of the year. Trevon Sands added 63 yards on 10 rushes. Jordan McLeod adding 23 yards on 6 rushes. That is taking into account a couple tackles for loss. The other story, of course, in this game is the USF defense. The veterans took over for this team. 7 players, most of them leaders, with 7 total tackles on the game. They had 6 sacks and 13 tackles for loss in this one. They average about 9 tackles per loss per game. I believe that's 4th in the country. That number is going to go up after this game. And I really want to focus on a gutsy call late in the game on the last drive where Antonio Greer blitzed around the end and got a huge sack to force a long fourth down on the last drive.
Absolutely. On third down, it was a goal line stand. BYU was definitely making a solid drive to get back into the lead of that game. And I had mentioned on the broadcast that Greer had come around on the left-hand side, right around the left tackle, came right behind Jaron on his blind side and just took him, swallowed him up from behind. It was an amazing call. He was great to get off of his block and just fly right around the corner. 44 was all over that play. It completely changed the pace of the game. BYU was driving. They looked really promising on that final drive. Well, not the final drive, but the first before last. They looked promising on the final drive as well. But, yeah, the USF defense came up and had very timely defense. They weren't very great all throughout the game, but whenever it counted, it mattered, and they showed up.
And the emphasis this year on that linebacking core has been get into the backfield, penetrate. And they came up huge in this game. They got 3 of those sacks, Antonio Greer Jr. getting 2 of them, Dwayne Boyles Jr. the other one.
Yeah, they looked really good towards the end of the game. I think a moniker that was applied to them was it could have been BYU racked up a lot of yardage towards the end of the game, but one of the real key aspects was the bend but don't break scenario. And we found that here tonight when we saw the linebacker core coming up big with key plays towards the end of the game.
And we're finding ourselves talking about another special teams player. Last week it was Spencer Schrader. This time it's Trent Schneider who to use a term of his native tongue, was absolutely bonza in this game.
Yeah, Snyder showed up and broke his own personal record that he broke against Georgia Tech earlier this season on average distance for punts, or average yards per punt during the game. He ended up having an amazing game against Georgia Tech, and he ended up breaking that record today against BYU. He looked absolutely phenomenal, and the biggest punt of the day coming right on that final stand whenever I remember Hefo, the return man for BYU, was lined up on the 45, and that man just watched that final punt fly over just short of inside the 20. It was a phenomenal punt. Pretty sure it was 61 total yards on it. Huge punt for USF, and it really just set up the defense. If they didn't have that much cushion, BYU could have totally found the end zone in a much shorter amount of time.
And to set the context there for the Trent Schneider punt you're talking about, where he broke his record career-high punt yard, the defense forced a goal line stand. They forced a turnover on downs with less than 3 minutes to go in the game. BYU had all three of their timeouts, so the offense had to get a couple first downs. They didn't, and they went three and out. Trent Schneider came in to punt, I believe, inside his own 10, and he bombed that thing, as you mentioned, all the way down to the other side of the field. And that is as crucial a play as there was in this game.
I'm pretty sure Schneider was just standing right outside of his own end zone and ended up punting it almost within the 20-yard line. It's only a 61-yard punt because of where the line of scrimmage is. But whenever you actually calculate it with the distance he was standing back, that's roughly about a 70, 75-yard punt. It was an amazing punt by Schneider. Really helped set up the defense. Gave the defense just enough cushion for them to work with on that final drive, and it really helped put the nail in the coffin for USF.
Yeah, I think a good point to see on that as well is that it was such a long punt at that rate, but also the fact that it was able to almost carry. He was sitting on at the middle of the goal line and punted it 60 yards, and Hefo was unable to track it, and it also bounced out of bounds, so it gave him no opportunity to get any return yardage back to set up BYU in better territory.
Yeah, Coach Strong had said in his interview that there was about a 20-yard separation between the USF special teams defense and Hefo, the return man for BYU, so to get that punt to go out of bounds was huge because Hefo could have brought back at least, you know, 15 yards.
Yeah, it's something interesting in the postgame conference, the way the players were talking about this win. They said they haven't felt this good since last year. I think the Georgia Tech game, they said.
Yeah.
In this game, they did not dominate BYU. They needed another comeback and fourth quarter comeback once again, which is something we got used to seeing last year. And the wheels were starting to come off as they were wrapping up that seven-game winning streak. BYU outgained them 439-315. Jaron Hall, who was making his first career start, had a heck of a game, 231 yards, 184 of those were through the air, 83 on the ground, and he had a touchdown either way as well. But the players are talking about this win like they feel very good about it. So why do you guys think that it's different this time around as opposed to some of those wins last year?
Well, I think whenever you compare those two games from Georgia Tech last season and then BYU this season, I think those are both statement wins for the program, and it was both wins for the team that a lot of people didn't expect them to get. I think a lot of times people expected BYU to come in here and put a beatdown on USF. They had faced one of the hardest schedules in the NCAA and still managed to come out with a 2-3 record. After those first five games, ended up upsetting USC earlier in the season, ended up beating Tennessee in a couple of overtimes. They looked good. They had statement wins, and they weren't a team to be taken lightly. So to have USF come by, especially on their homecoming week, to face a pretty difficult team and able to squeak out a win, even though they had been only had captured wins against teams such as UConn and South Carolina State previous to this, I think that was just enough to put the team over, and I think it gave them a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I like to resonate with that because it had been a bleak season to this point with the start out of the 1-3 start, and it was told that last year, even though that we did go 7-0 with all the rankings and stuff, that it was said that there were fights and stuff, and players were getting in each other's heads, all the teammates on the USF team, and it's just this year I think they found a group that they can click with. They've got them to 500 now, even up the record with a two-game winning streak, and I think they're ready to turn this season around going forward and take the battle to, you know, all these ranked opponents towards the end that are on the schedule for USF.
A lot of positive talk on this recap, obviously, because it's a pretty big win, but the one downside in this game was Jordan McLeod, who wasn't great. He went 7-14, 72 yards through the air, touchdown and an interception, and then he had the rushing touchdown, 23 yards on 6 carries. But there's a reason for that. He appeared to hurt his wrist, and he played most of the game with a glove. How huge is that going forward and how huge is McLeod's health, especially knowing that Blake Barnett may not be ready to come back.
So McLeod's been hurt ever since the SMU game. He ended up getting a wrist contusion in that game after taking a hit in the second quarter, and he's been kind of milking that injury for a couple of weeks now. It's been a stinger. It's been something that he says he is feeling whenever he's playing. So it's one of those, if you can play through the injury, I think McLeod's numbers have shifted down a little bit, not because of his decision-making or anything such as that. I think it's just the wrist. I think the wrist is bothering him a little bit. I think whenever he finally gets up to a condition to where he can kind of get back into it and get healthy and take a rest for a minute, I think it's going to be really looking up for the offense. But right now, I wouldn't say you have a completely reliable source right behind McLeod to come in and give him that time off that he needs.
The Oracle's Nolan Brown would beg to differ, but Kirk Reigel is untested, so that would be a huge loss if McLeod can't go. And this is a tough schedule coming up for USF. They go take on Navy on the road next week, and they get somewhat of an easy game against ECU on the road, and then they have a bye, and then there's the gauntlet in November where they're going to play Temple, Cincinnati, Memphis, UCF. This team needs three more wins to get bowl eligible. Do you think that this game is a corner-turning victory, and do you think that sets them up for success?
Yes, this game this that happened today, it showed a lot of grit and grime that this team has on the defensive and offensive ends. I think today was a coming-out party for the ground game from Charlie Strong's offense. We needed to see that today. We've seen it in the past 2 weeks as Jordan Cronkright has been able to provide over 300 yards on the ground, also with some help from Sands at the backup role to run a nice kind of 1-2 punch. But we really need to see the health of Jordan McLeod improve, and then him also get back to the good health, but also start to make better reads so we can increase on his pass yards down the field, so we don't see looks where hard-determined teams that are in the top 25 are stacking the box trying to stuff out Cronkright and company.
You know, you and I, Kevin, have talked about whenever we were at the Connecticut game, we talked about how the running game was finally getting going, but then again we mentioned it was UConn. This is a team... a solid team. That granted, their rush defense isn't the best. Don't get me wrong, BYU in the back half of the nation in rushing defense.
Bottom 10, I believe.
Yeah, I think they're roughly around like 123 out of 130 or something. But, I mean, overall, their defense as a whole was not a bad defense. And this is a team that, you know, back-to-back weeks, whenever, no matter who your opponent is, it could be two bottom-of-the-level FCS teams. I mean, if you get back-to-back weeks where you're rushing over 100 yards, almost over 150 yards per game, it's gonna increase your confidence as a running back. And I love the idea that last year our 1-2 punch was Johnny Ford and it was Jordan Cronkright. But I think this season with the mix of Sands, it gives Sands that ability to be that downhill back, and it really allows Cronkright to bust more to the outside as opposed to Ford and Cronkright, who are a bit more of running backs outside of the tackles as opposed to between the tackles.
He should be huge going forward for USF. They certainly need him to be a key player. By the way, USF rushes for 243 yards in this game. They improved to, I believe, 17-1 under Coach Charlie Strong. 16-1, 17-1.
Regardless.
Semantics. They're very good when they rush over 200 yards under Charlie Strong.
We'll make sure to have that stat correct.
Absolutely. By the way, Johnny Ford expected to be out a few more weeks. We are not totally sure how many games he's going to be suspended for, but he is not expected to travel to Navy
or
to Annapolis
or ECU, yeah.
Or ECU for this month, and we'll see what the status is on his. But thank you so much for joining us here in Radio St. Pete, and we'll be back later on in the week for our preview against Navy.